Is this thing on? Okay, great. All right, we're going to be reading from the parable of the good four soils. Do you guys know in the past 3 years how many times we've covered this text? Does anyone know? Okay, well, that's just a good guess. Wow. Well, you're right. It is 3 times. This will be our 4th time covering it. This was actually my first sermon that I delivered to you guys, back in 2012. And Pastor Daniel actually talked about it just a few months ago, actually, when we did the kingdom parables in Matthew 13. But the reason why I wanted to cover it again, I was doing my Greek project, and part of the project is we have to translate like a whole chunk of text, right? And it just happened to be this passage, the parable of the four soils. And I was a very poor Greek student this semester, and so the 23 verses took me 6 hours. And Daniel gave me a really hard time afterwards because he said, "Oh, dude, everyone gets an A on that project. I don't know why you spent so much time." So that made me feel really stupid. But it ended up being good because it really, really blessed me as I was reading it. It took 6 hours, right? So it better have. But I really wanted to share this with you. And I think it's appropriate given that we're talking about kingdom culture. We have to be a culture of the word. We have to be a culture of God's word, right? Our culture can't be based on anything other than God's word. And so I thought it was only appropriate that we talk about this. So let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's word together. We're going to start by reading verses 1 through 9. Please read along with me. I will read the odd verses, and please read the even verses aloud. Let's read this together. Verse 1, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea." Verse 3, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow." Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Let's read the last verse together. "He who has ears, let him hear." Amen. Please be seated. Please join me as I pray. Father, I just ask that you would please help us to understand the meaning of this parable. God, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to give it the attention and, Lord, the response that it's due. So thank you so much. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go back to the first slide, please. This story starts with Jesus going out of a house that he was in and then sitting beside the sea. The sea here, does anyone know what the sea is? Which sea is this? It's actually a lake. Sea of Galilee, okay? When it talks about the sea or the lake, it's talking about Galilee, at least when it comes to Jesus' ministry. And there are so many people that are following Jesus at this point, so many people that want to listen to him, that it says that he had to go out on a boat, right? He had to row out on off the shore, and then everyone else stood on the shore to listen to him. And what his sermon that he preaches is like a lesson in agriculture. Okay, it's kind of strange. I was thinking about this sermon. It's the sermon is from verse 3 to verse 9. It's really short, and it's very mysterious. It's very cryptic. Okay, Daniel's taking a preaching class. Well, he's almost done with school. He just has one more summer class. But this last semester, he took contemporary preaching, and I could tell that he learned a lot from that class, because I feel like his sermons have, they've just, not that they weren't good before, but I could tell that they, that he's really learned a lot in that class. And I wonder, Daniel, would you please tell me, what would Dr. Edwards grade this sermon from verses 3 through 9? Really? I kind of feel like he would get an F, right? Because it's not clear. It's not clear what he's saying. You know, I think what they teach us in seminary is that you need to, like, it, you know, we're competing against your guys' attention spans, against all the things that that are going on in your lives at work and at school and stuff. And so I haven't taken preaching yet, but, you know, some of the principles that I've been taught in my other classes is that when you preach, it's got to be clear, it's got to be concise, it's got to be in context, some other things, right? It's got to be obviously scriptural. Jesus's message is definitely concise, but it's not clear. It's not clear what he's saying, right? So much so that later the disciples, if you turn to verse, turn with me to verse 10. Okay, so right after, the disciples have to come to him and ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? They don't get it. They're like, why? I don't understand. Why are you speaking like this? And Jesus says, it's because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but to them it has not been given. Okay? He preaches. In other words, Jesus purposely preaches in such a way that some people are going to get it, and some people are not going to get it. It's done in such a way to differentiate between those in verse 12 who have... Those who have, whoever has will be given more, and those who do not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. So Jesus purposely preaches in a way to differentiate between people, right? And this parable is kind of a key to understanding that. Now, one thing to realize about these four soils, okay? So what's the point of seed? When you scatter seed, what are you hoping to gain? Some sort of a crop, some sort of produce, right? Whether it's asparagus or almonds or any other delicious produce that we might find, you want to bear fruit. You want to gain a crop, right? There's only one kind of soil that's going to produce the fruit that you're going after, and that's the good soil, right? Other seed fell along path, other along rocky soil, thorny soil. And something to note is that it's not up to the seed to determine whether or not it produces a crop. The seed always has life inside of it, right? The difference is in the soil. The difference is in the soil, okay? In other words, this parable is telling us that as far as the Word of God producing fruit in our lives, it's really about the hearer. It's not about the message. It's about the hearer, it's not about the speaker. Okay, this is God's word, and it contains life, and it will bear fruit in your life, but it's about the hearer. Who's the best preacher you've ever heard? Who's the best preacher you've ever heard? All right, now I know you guys are lying. No, really, who's the best preacher you've ever heard? Francis Chan, I would say the same thing. Is there anyone else that has a different favorite preacher? John Piper? Huh? Who? Frank Caliendo? Oh, Tim Keller. Okay, yes. Not Frank. Huh? Louis C. Yes, okay. All right, they preach not the Word of God, but something else. Yeah, no. The preacher of the Word of God, yeah. Okay, so yeah, Tim Keller, you know, John Piper, Francis Chan. These are great, great speakers. You know, they're amazing preachers. When you hear them talk, you just want to listen to them, right? I think it's safe to say that Jesus was probably better than them at preaching, right? But even his audience, he had a lot of people that didn't listen. He had a lot of people that didn't get it, right? He even says so. You know, not everyone is going to understand. In fact, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like the path, okay? So I think what we want to try to learn from this parable is, how do we become like the good soil? How do we become like the good soil? It's not clearly stated, but I think we can maybe glean some insights by comparing the characteristics of the other soils to the good soil. Okay? So let's start by looking at the path. Now, you know, I think in the past when I've preached this, I focused a lot on which soil are you? And that's the question that I asked you guys to consider. Right? Today, I'm not asking you guys to consider that so much because I think you'll just know which soil you're like. What I want us to consider is not so much what soil are you, but what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it so that you can become like the good soil? Okay? So in other words, how should we respond? We're going to examine some of the differences or the characteristics between the good soil and the other soil. So let's first look at the path. So Jesus starts in verses 1 through 9 by telling the parable, and then later in verses 18 through 23, he explains the parable. Okay, so we're going to look at Jesus' explanation. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Okay. There are people who are going to hear the word of the kingdom, but they're not going to understand it. Why not? Why not? Is it because the message is hard to understand? Is it because they don't understand the language that Jesus is speaking? No, it has everything to do with their heart. Next slide. See, this is why I speak to them in parables, Jesus says in verse 13, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, there are people that see, but they don't perceive. There are people that hear, but they're not really listening. Okay? In other words, one of the main differences between the path and the good soil is not so much whether or not you have the ability to hear, but whether or not you have the desire to listen. And there's definitely a difference, wouldn't you say? One of the worst listeners that I know is my dad. And he's a huge interrupter. You guys know my dad, right? He's a really sweet guy. I love him. But one of the most annoying things about him that me and my sister, it drives us crazy, especially when we were growing up. We'd be like going somewhere, like this would happen all the time. We'd be in the car. Me and my sister are in the back. My dad and my mom are in the front. And me and my sister are having a conversation. And it's definitely an A to B conversation. In other words, dad, see yourself out of it, right? And we're talking about something really interesting. And like, you know, maybe I'm telling a story, right? And then I'm about to get to the punchline. And then my dad from the front will just interrupt the story with something completely off tangent, like mid-sentence. It's so irrelevant. It'll be like, I'll be like talking to my sister about school or church or something, and then my dad will be like, "Hey guys, look over there," in Korean. He'll be like, "Hey guys, look over there, look at that dog." You know, I'm just like, are you serious? Like, what does that have to do with anything we're talking about? You interrupted us, our really interesting conversation, so that you could point out that dog to us? I didn't understand why my dad would do this. Like, it was regular. Almost every car trip, he would do something like that. And initially, I thought it was because my dad was rude, right? But then, you know, over time, I realized, no, that doesn't really fit with his character. And then I started to think, well, is he just dumb? Like, what's going on? Like, does he not realize that we're having a conversation here? But no, that wasn't it either. And then one day it clicked. One day it clicked that it's because he's terrible at English, right? He's so bad at English. It's really funny. You know, my dad runs his own business, and he's talking to, you know, English-speaking clients all day on the phone. And it's really funny because he has like a few set of phrases that he says in every conversation. It'll be like, "Hello, Tina. Hi, how are you? This is James from Master Painting. I'm fine, thank you. Ha 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 ha." And then he'd be like, "I will be there on Thursday to finish job. Okay. Okay, haha, thank you." All right, and then he just, like, I've noticed that he immediately cuts the conversation as soon as possible, and it's because he doesn't want the client to start asking questions that he doesn't know how to respond to or doesn't understand, right? So he's really bad at English, and so when me and my sister are speaking in English, it's gotten to the point, over time, it's just English is no longer, like, it's not even, like, an input, you know, because he's not listening. He's not listening because he doesn't understand it, right? And so it's just like, you know, Charlie Brown, like, wah, 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 wah. That's what English is like to my dad, okay? And so it doesn't even register to him that we're having a meaningful conversation. And so he'll just talk because to him it's as good as silence, you know? I mean, literally, I'll come home sometimes and catch him watching a movie on TV with the sound off, right? An English movie. So that's how bad his English is, right? my point here is that it is possible to hear but not listen. Okay? It is possible to be hearing but not listening. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is Jesus' point. This is what the path people are like. Okay? This is what the path people are like. They might be hearing the message, but they're not listening. Are you like the path? Tony prayed this morning that God is always speaking to us. And I think he is right about that. God is always speaking to us. Did you guys know that right now there are radio waves bouncing back and forth in this room? Right? That there's all sorts of wireless signals that are going, you know, they have a lot of information in them, but you can't hear them unless you tune in to the right frequency. Right? I think God's word is kind of like that. God is constantly broadcasting his word. God constantly has something that he wants to tell you. But are you listening? Are we listening? We can't hear unless we tune in. Of course God wants to speak to you. Of course he wants to bless you. Of course he wants to transform you. Why would he not? He loves you. Right? But are we listening? Are we tuning in? One of the differences between the people that are like the path and the people that are like the good soil is the desire to hear from God. It's about humility, right? Are you in a posture of listening? James chapter 1 verse 21 says this, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." We talked about humility last week, right? Humbly accept the word planted in you. We need to humbly listen with an attitude of surrender. God, what would you have to say to me? What are you trying to speak to me right now? Right? You see, I think a lot of us have characteristics of the path. We come week after week. What are we learning? Are we being changed? I was like the path for like 4 straight years in high school. We had a Korean FOB pastor who I found it hard to, you know, to listen to. And rather than like trying harder, I just decided to give up. And so, like for 4 straight years, I would sit in these pews, listening to a message, hearing, but like my mind was totally somewhere else. And it's not a surprise that I didn't really grow, you know, with that kind of an attitude. Week after week, do you come and do you listen? Do you listen or are you just hearing? Let's look at verses 14 through 15. "Indeed, in their case, the people that are like the path, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive.'" The phrasing in the original text, right? You will indeed hear, but never. This never is like the strongest negation that you could use in the Greek language. It's like, no way in heck will you ever understand. No way in heck will you ever perceive. "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." It's so tragic that there are people like this. God wants to heal us. God wants to speak into our lives. But people's hearts are hardened. They're hard, right? And the word of God cannot penetrate. Can you go to that picture of the path? This is a path. What do you notice about it? There's nothing growing on it, right? Why? Because people step on it. As they step on it, whatever vegetation had grown there, it dies, right? And then as they keep walking on it, the soil gets more and more compacted. Even if you tried throwing a seed on there, right? It's not like there's not, you know, seeds falling periodically onto the path. Of course there is, right? It's just that the path is too compacted so that the seed can't penetrate. That's what our hearts are like. That's what our hearts are like if we are hearing but not listening, right? No matter how powerful the word of God is, if your heart is hard, it won't penetrate. And that's pretty crazy. You would think that, you know, there's a verse in Isaiah, I think, that says that my word never returns to me without intending what I accomplished. I'm paraphrasing. It says something like that. But apparently, there are some times when God's word can't do what it's intended for, right? If your heart is hard, everyone around you could be growing, and you are unchanged. Isn't it amazing that a group of people can be listening to a message, right? And somebody responds by committing their lives to Jesus. Somebody responds by repenting of some hidden sin. And other people they don't get anything out of it. There was life-transforming power in that moment, and yet somebody missed out. It's crazy. I mean, is the Word of God not interesting? Is that why we don't pay attention? Is it not interesting? Is it boring? Right? Is your eternal destiny, is it not important? Is that why we don't listen? We need to think about how we listen. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says this: faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Guys, how do we grow in our faith? By hearing the word of Christ. Right? Why do churches feature a sermon on Sunday morning rather than just singing or fellowship? It's because faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. Right? I hope that that's something that never changes about the church, is that it features the word of God. We need to be listening. You know, sometimes I ask people, or I overhear people talking about like why they don't come to Bible study, right? And I've heard people say stuff like, well, I mean, there's some reasons, like, you know, I wanted to hang out with my friends or whatever, right? But then I hear some people, that's fine. You know, sometimes we need to take a break or whatever. I understand that. But sometimes I hear people say, I don't see what the point is. You know, well, this is the point, right? It's to hear the word of God. Isn't that reason enough to come to church, to come to Bible study? You know, maybe in the past the issue could have been like the speaker was not good, okay? I grant that. Perhaps that may have been a hindrance. But now we have Pastor Daniel, who's a great speaker. He's a great speaker. You have two Talbot guys, right, preaching every week. I hope you guys know that for a church our size, that's actually a luxury. I don't know any other church that could say that, right? You know, why don't we listen? Why don't we listen? Hebrews 4:12 says this: for the word of God is alive and active. Previous one. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is the power of God's word. It has the power to penetrate into your heart and to reveal what's there and to cut out the bad things, right? This is the power of God's word. Luke 24, this is what it should feel like when we listen to God's word. This is what the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Right? If your heart is perceptive, then your heart will burn. Right? As you are convicted by the word of God, as it does its work inside of your life. I was here with Pastor Daniel on Tuesday listening to him speak to the missions team about missiology, about the task that remains, about unreached people groups, and I felt my heart burning with fire and with passion as he spoke God's word to us. Why is this not our normal reaction? It's because our hearts are not right. This is the power of God's word. And so how we listen is so important. How we come to church on Sundays is so important. What can you do? You know, I realize, guys, that coming to church and listening is sometimes a challenge. You know, we worship relatively early in the morning, 9:30, compared to other churches, right? especially for college students who are used to, you know, oversleeping and whatever, you know. Not just college students, but certain seminarians as well, you know. Yours truly. Yes, it's hard. You know, sometimes we come to Bible study after a long week of work, and it's just like we just want to relax, you know. I understand that. I understand that. But can we also understand that the Word of God deserves our attention? Right? And so how we come to church is important. If you're not in the right frame of mind, you know, before you walk in, just sit in your car for 2 minutes and ask God to open your heart. You know, don't let anything get in the way of you listening to what God has to speak to you. You know, bring your Bible, okay? Bring your Bible, or if not, if you're not going to bring your Bible, then at least put your phone on airplane mode so that you're not getting notifications from Facebook and Kakao during the message. You know, it's fine if you're relying on your phone for the Bible app. That's okay. But don't be texting. Don't be receiving notifications, whatever, right? That's like, I don't understand. I don't know a better picture of the path, you know, where Satan comes in and scoops up the word that was planted. If you're texting or whatever, right, you're obviously going to get distracted. You know, one thing that you can do is to take notes. And this is sort of an aside. I recommend that you go to Target and buy a $5 journal, okay, and take notes with your hand, because scientifically it is proven. In case you guys didn't know this, it's scientifically proven that taking notes by hand is better for comprehension and retention than on electronic devices. So I did some quick research. This was an article published in Psychological Science, which is a academic journal, by two Princeton researchers, and their results revealed that they tested students on retention and comprehension, and the two groups were study groups were those that took notes by hand versus those that, you know, had laptops. Okay, the results revealed that while the two types of note takers performed equally well on questions that involved recalling facts, laptop note takers performed significantly worse on the conceptual questions. Okay, so in other words, anything that's not like a date or a number or something, right? It's much better for you to take notes by hand. Something about that physiological motion helps with your memory comprehension and memory and your retention. The researchers also found that longhand note takers still beat laptop note takers on recall 1 week later, even when participants were given a chance to review their notes before taking the recall test. It's pretty interesting. Okay, so somehow the act of having to filter what you're writing and write down something that makes sense to you, that's better for your comprehension. So just you know, my advice is to go out and get a journal if you're going to take notes, right? And if you don't, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying nobody's going to judge you for that. I think it's just a little word of wisdom, you know. I don't think anyone's going to go and abandon their laptops like in their classes and stuff. But yeah, just something to consider. Okay, so the path, it's just a really bad place to be, okay? How are we like the path? How can we grow out of that? How can we move beyond that? Let's look at the rocky soil. Verses 20 through 21, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Okay, so there's something going on here. The word of God is producing some fruit in your life, or so it would seem. There's some sort of impact. This person hears it, they receive it, and it produces joy, or they receive it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, verse 21, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. I think one detail here is, that's not captured in the translation is that he has no root in himself. The way that it's phrased in the Greek text is he has no depth of soil. He has no depth of soil. Okay? Those who receive the word but wither away because they have no depth. They have no roots. There's nothing in there for the roots to take hold of. Can you take a look at that picture, please? Rocky soil, okay? You can just tell that grass is going to be pretty easy to pull out, right? There's nothing that it can anchor itself into. So in other words, how much permanence is there when you receive the word, right? When you listen to it, How many of you can recall what we heard last week? I kind of alluded to it, right? Well, we heard a message on humility. What about the week before? The week before was about loving God, right? And that how loving God necessitates obedience. Well, most of us probably don't remember that, right? there's a sad statistic, something like 95% of church members don't remember what the pastor said the week before, which is great because then it's like the word of God is fresh every week, right? I mean, I could just preach the same thing every single week. No, the permanence of the results, right? The permanence of what you hear, that is one characteristic of the good soil, whether or not it has roots. One way that we can have some depth in our listening to God's word is to actually think about what we heard, right? To not just let it go, like vapor, whatever. Listen. If you take notes, review them, right? Review them. Or if you don't, just listen. Or I'm sorry. Think about what you heard. Let it soak in your mind and in your heart. Let it make a difference in your thoughts and your actions throughout the week, right? Psalm 1 says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. No, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This word for meditate in the Hebrew is the same word as the word that is for chew. Okay, he chews on God's word day and night. And the imagery here is like a cow. You guys know that cows have four stomachs, and because the grass that they eat has a lot of, you know, it's very fibrous, they need to digest their food and chew it up four different times, right? And so they're constantly learning, you know? They're constantly chewing, okay? This is the imagery. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he's meditating on it day and night, ruminating over it. This is how we can achieve some depth in our soil, in our souls, right? Richard Foster in Celebration of Discipline says this: "The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people." You guys have seen this quote before, I think. We need not people that are intelligent enough to be able to expound on God's word and study it from an academic perspective. We don't need gifted people, right, who can preach their lungs out and capture people's attention like Francis Chan. No, we need deep people. We need people who are going to let the word of God permeate into their souls and make a difference. Why did he say this? I think part of the reason is because we as Christians, did you guys know that we have a responsibility to know and to teach God's word to one another? Right? Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Dwell, right? Let it make its home inside of you. So that, how do you let it dwell? How does it express itself? By teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. By singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is Paul's description of what a Christian community should look like. You know, the task of preaching and teaching has become so specialized in the contemporary church, where it's like you need an MDiv and you need to take, you know, several semesters worth of Bible exposition and preaching classes in order to teach the Word of God. That's not the biblical expectation. All of us should be able to teach and admonish one another with the Word that dwells inside of us, right? Why do we need deep people? It's because we need each other. We need people in the church that lets the Word of God dwell in them so that we could teach and admonish one another, right? Next verse, please. Hebrews 5 puts it this way: "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." If there's anyone that this applies to, right, it's probably people that have been in the church for a while. Right? We should be teachers of the word. But we're like babies. We need to be taught the same things again and again and again. later, the authors of Hebrews says, let us move on beyond the elementary principles of the faith. You know, let's go, let's dig into the meat of God's word. Let's do what we're supposed to do. We're a priesthood of believers. We're not depending on one guy anymore. God has made all of us priests. We need to be deep people. Finally, this quote I came across in my preparation this week. Paul never tires of insisting that every member of the community has the responsibility to impart the particular insights they have been given. All are called to instruct one another, to speak God's word, so that all may learn and be encouraged, and to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. For it is through speaking the truth in love that they are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, even Christ. That is how Christian community is meant to grow, is we teach one another, right? Not relying on one dude, right? No, we're supposed to teach one another. We need to be people that have depth. So we need to allow the Word of God to permeate, right? Not to be like this rocky soil that has no depth of soil. What is the thorny soil like? The thorny soil is described in verse 22. It describes those, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Are you like a thorny soil, right? Those who don't bear fruit because they let life get in the way, right? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and that is sure to choke the intended purpose of God's word in your life, right? You know, how many messages have I heard where I come to church and I'm not thinking about what I'm hearing because I'm thinking about what's going on at work, or I'm thinking about my exam, you know? So many times. Or throughout the week, I'm not letting the word dwell in my heart richly. I'm not letting it achieve any depth in my soul because life gets in the way. You know, I have to make money. You know, I have to whatever, perform at work. Whatever the case might be, right? This is the thorny soil, and it is for sure going to choke the intended fruits that God wants to bear in your life. It's going to choke that out. Yeah, look at this thing. This is a picture of some plant that's being choked by, you know, some thorny thing. Well, is that you? You know, does that look like your heart? Is it ensnared in the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth? How can God's word bear fruit in your life? You know, if this is you, okay, here are some practical steps that you can take. We need to cultivate good soil in our hearts, and your attitude matters. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Ah, okay. Yeah, if you're like the thorny soil, okay, what can you do? Pursue holiness and purity. Okay, by pursuing holiness and by pursuing purity, right, you're fighting against the cares of this world. You're fighting against the deceitfulness of wealth. Pursue holiness, purity, and simplicity in your life. If this is you, you need to do something about these thorns. You got to take a weed whacker and cut those things out, you know? Cut them out, right? Pursue holiness, purity, and simplicity in your life. If you have a problem with materialism, right, get rid of some stuff. Stop buying things that you don't need, you know? Why do we buy so much stuff? I don't get it. We don't need it, right? Stop perusing all those online retail sites. You know, I know some of you guys do that. You know, it's fun to look at or whatever, but is it worth the effect that it has on your soul? We need to pursue holiness and purity. Matthew chapter 4 says this. He answered, this is Jesus, how are we supposed to combat the forces that choke up the word of God in our life? How did Jesus combat Satan? By quoting scripture, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is in the temptation of Jesus, right? When Satan says, turn these stones into bread, right? And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to live. A man does not simply live off of bread. No, but by every word of the mouth of God. This is to be how we are to live spiritually, guys. It's through the word of God. Right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Whereas those who do not hear and obey, right, they're like a house that is built on sand, and there's no foundation, right? We need to have our foundation in the hearing and the obedience of God's word. So pursue holiness, pursue purity, pursue simplicity, and combat the forces, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth. Finally, let's take a look at the good soil. The good soil is described like this, verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. He indeed, there's this idea of certainty. That if you properly hear God's word, if you properly hear God's word, if you receive it, if you understand it, you will indeed bear fruit. I saw this, you guys might have seen this picture that I posted. I don't know what that 38 is doing there on that middle grape. But I posted this picture on Facebook this week because as I was thinking about this particular verse, what Jesus is saying is that the word of God will certainly bear fruit in your life. Right, can you imagine? And it's not just that it will bear fruit, it'll be 100 times what was sown. Can you believe that all this fruit came from one seed? One tiny seed produces this much fruit. And that is the power of God in your life. To bear so much fruit that you're abounding. It's an overflow, right? Man, do we want that? I know I do, right? And so we need to cultivate good soil in our hearts towards the word, our attitudes. It makes all the difference. You guys ever heard that cliche, your attitude determines your altitude? There's a lot of truth in that little cliche, right? You know, occasionally I'll make some suggestions about like, you know, guys, let's try to spend an hour a day reading the Bible. Or, you know, last week I suggested that that we read that book by Andrew Murray on humility. I said it was 5 minutes a day, right? And I see people, their expressions are like, or like sometimes I hear people like, oh, or like, what? I literally hear people say this, right? Man, it's like, well, you expect me to take a 5 minutes or an hour, whatever, out of my busy schedule, out of my Netflix viewing schedule, out of my Game of Thrones schedule, whatever, you know? Well, I mean, I guess the alternative is to put it this way, right? Do you want to waste your whole life in front of a screen, right? Living other people's adventures, right, through the plot? Or do you want to make a difference in your own life? Do you want your own life to be epic and meaningful? Do you want to spend your whole life not growing? Or do you want to be transformed more and more into Jesus' likeness? Do you want to live your whole life not having made a difference in other people's lives? Or do you want to bear fruit? Read the Word of God. Let it dwell richly in you. All right? Don't just dismiss it. Joshua 1, right? I want us to understand it's not just something that we should do. It's something that we should want to do, because there's blessing. There is blessing associated with it, like an abundance of blessing. So much blessing that you won't be able to handle it. Joshua 1, 6 through 7, I guess it's verse 8. Okay, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. There is prosperity, there is success, there is blessing that comes from obeying God's word. I don't mean to say that it's like this prosperity gospel idea, right, that you're going to get health and wealth. No, living by God's word is going to be hard, but it will be full of all sorts of blessings, right? Even material blessings, even material blessings. Jesus does not shy away from promising us that no matter what we give up in this life, whether it's home, mother, father, family, we will not fail to receive in this life. I don't remember exactly what the word he says is, but a multiplication of whatever it was that we gave up, right? Lastly, let me, as far as, well, I guess it's not lastly. Hang in with me for 5 more minutes, okay? Let me read you this quote. This is one of our professors. God does not force anyone to accept the message of the kingdom, so the crowd's negative response to the parables is dictated by the nature of their heart. If a person in the crowd has no spiritual ears, his or her heart will be increasingly hardened and will turn away from Jesus and the healing that comes with the kingdom of heaven. Man, this is scary. That's so scary. You know, to have your heart be hardened, you know, so that you fail to receive the blessings, you turn away from Jesus. You know, there's two types of fruit, right? I think that this passage is talking about. The first is converts, right? That whoever receives the word of God will produce a crop 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. But the secondary point, I think, but for me, more relevant for us today, is the idea of transformation. Right? You will be transformed into something so beautiful. Someone so full of life. Someone so abundant. You know, I think so much of our media consumption, whether it be games, whether it be, you know, TV, movies, manga, whatever you guys do, whatever we do, right? Sports. I think so much of that is we're driven to it because we're empty. You know, at least that's what I feel. That's when I go to media. You know, that's the appeal that I find in it. If you weren't empty, if you weren't bored, right? Why would you do that? You know, why would you let that consume so much of your life? If my own life was full of adventure, if my own life was entertaining, you know, if it was epic, then why would I need to watch some dude on a horse doing epic things, you know, on my screen, you know? We lack depth. We lack richness in our hearts because we lack the Word of God. We lack the transforming power of His Word. We lack the capacity, the volition to follow into the blessing that He has for us. And so one thing that I want to challenge us with is to have a devotional life. Can we go to that website? We need to cultivate a devotional life, a daily, daily time in God's Word where we are hearing from Him. You know, how long have you been a Christian, right? And yet, how long has it been that you don't read the Bible, right? So I've showed you guys this website before, but I'll show it to you again just in case you don't remember. Just go to ivypress.com/Bible, right? Go to Read Today, Simon. Read Today in the upper right-hand corner. Right, this is an excellent site for just a daily Bible schedule. Okay, so it'll give you a passage to read. Read the passage. If it helps you, read the background text up at the beginning. And then if it helps you to understand the text, then do some of the questions about the text. Right? If you need further background, especially for when we're reading the prophets and stuff like that, go to the right-hand where it says Bible study schedule. Click on the book of Joel, and it'll give you an excellent commentary. Like less than it's like a few paragraphs, right? It'll give you excellent background on what's going on, right? And it'll give you a schedule right there at the bottom. We'll send this link out in this week's email. But it's you just type in Ivy Press Bible Study and it'll come up. Bookmark this thing. You know, put it on, make a bookmark and put it on your the homepage of your phone screen. That's what Irene did, and I've done that, and it's really, you know, it's helped me, right? You don't have to use this site, you know. I don't think that I want to dictate this to you. If you have some other schedule that you're doing, that's fine. But if you need some help getting started, this is something that I'd recommend. Okay. Also, something else that you guys can do that we can do is to read devotional literature. And I sometimes criticize devotional literature and I say don't read it because it's like eating chewed up food rather than chewing it yourself. The caveat there, I guess, is that it's good as a supplement, okay, not as a substitute. So if all you're reading is, you know, somebody else's devotion, then yeah, I would say that it's better for you just to read it on your own. But it's excellent as a supplement to your own devotional life. Okay, it can be a great blessing. Another thing that, you know, maybe we can consider doing is to memorize scripture. Let's say there are some of you guys that are already, you already have a devotional life. You know, you're already in the Word. Well, one thing that will help the Word of God dwell richly in you is to memorize scripture. I think that's something that's becoming less and less prevalent today because we have so much immediate searching power on our phones and on the internet. Well, before the internet, you had to know the passage of scripture that you were talking about. You couldn't just type in, like, paraphrase the words that came to your mind. You had to memorize not just the verse but the reference. But, you know, in the past when I've memorized scripture, it's been such a huge blessing to my spiritual life, right? The ability to and honestly, I don't know how the Word of God can dwell richly in you if you haven't got it memorized to a certain extent, right? Memorize scripture. It's a huge blessing. If you take these steps to listen, okay? Some of you guys are maybe you're listening to what I'm saying, these suggested applications, and you're just overwhelmed. Like, Stephen, I have a hard enough time just coming to church at 9:30. Like, come on, be realistic here, okay? That's fine. Just take whatever is the right step for you. If you just need to come with the right heart and actually pay attention, then do that, right? You know, if you've been doing that faithfully and you want the Word of God to dwell richly in you, then maybe review your notes throughout the week. If you're already doing that, start a daily devotional reading. You know, just take whatever is the right step for you. And you will experience Jesus' promise that indeed you will bear fruit 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Let's go back to that picture of the grapes, right? This will be your life. You will produce a crop. Right? Finally, let's look at that last slide, please. This is Jesus' promise for those of us who have his word, who believe in him, who know him. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is a picture of life. You guys want that? I know I do. And I know that I want you guys to have that as well. Let's be people of the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray together. I'd like to give us a chance to respond in prayer just to what we heard. You guys know what type of soil you are, whether you're path, rocky, thorny, good soil, whatever. Think about what we heard today and think about the suggested applications. And can we just pray to God right now and ask him to make us people of his word? Can we tell him that we want to have his word dwell deeply in our hearts, to abound and overflow and produce a crop in us? Can we commit to him that we're going to take that first step, that right step, in order to become people that are like that good soil? We need to be people of the word, guys. God wants to bless us. God wants to transform us. But we need to listen. So let's pray.